Hey, welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today on the It's Just Life podcast. This is episode number 16. I'm Karen, and I'm glad you're here to join us in another conversation.
What's up, everybody? It's Gia, the daughter of Karen, and welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you here listening, and I'm excited about our topic today. This is definitely a big one that everyone can relate to. It's always a hot topic, and that is the topic of money. And especially for us as creative and spiritual entrepreneurs, it can be challenging to feel that you deserve money, to charge for your services, and to get the money that you feel you deserve and really value yourself and your product. And when you don't just have a regular job with a salary coming in, it's a real challenge to put yourself in the right headspace to make money and feel good about it. So do you want to start off with how you are feeling about that lately, Mom?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I can say that money has been an issue for me for my whole life. So it's something I really struggle with as an entrepreneur. And when I used to work in a medical practice and get paid a salary, that worked really well for me. It was fine because I didn't have to struggle with my own personal issues about how to make money and how to charge people money. That's my main issue. I have a hard time charging people for the things that I do. And I realized some of my problem comes from my mindset as a child, because I remember my mom telling me that it's better to be poor than to be rich. And that was part of her belief system and her mentality, that people who are poor have more character, they've struggled more, and they're better people. And that those who are rich get lazy and they have things come to them easily. So it's better to seek a life of poverty. And that always made sense to me. And I really embraced that ideal. But I see now how much it hinders me when I'm trying to figure out how do I maintain a business and how do I make enough money to keep myself going. Because I have this guilty mindset about seeking money, about trying to make money. And that's what I've been working on trying to overcome.
Yeah, isn't it so interesting how we make such meaning out of money? And when it could be viewed as money is just energy, it's just an energy exchange. And so you give some, you receive some, and when it's in constant flow, I think you're kind of able to spend and earn money pretty easily. But we do make so much meaning out of it, like how do we spend our money, and what does it mean if we have a lot of money or if we spend a lot of money? We put so much value on that. And it's interesting to hear about your childhood experience. I don't know that I've ever heard you mention that, of what your mom taught you. But that's so interesting. I feel like in my youth, we did have enough money having two doctors, you know, as my parents. But the mentality was not really that there was enough still. There was still quite a bit of fear around lack and feeling like, well, we do have money now, but you never know. And so be careful and don't spend too much and feel bad sometimes about spending too much. So I do feel like I have a little bit of a lack mentality ingrained in me. I don't feel like it's bad to be wealthy. I feel like it would be good to be wealthy, but I do have in me sort of a sense of fear around lack. Like, oh, it'd be nice if I was really abundant, but I'm kind of afraid that I'm not and that this will all just fall apart at some point.
Mm-hmm. And we did talk about abundance in the past as it's kind of an attitude that you have of whether you see life itself as abundant and whether you see that you have everything you need, you have enough, and you don't have to worry about it. But that's a little different because you can actually feel abundant in life and in your life circumstances, but still have a hard time when it comes down to the tangible act of making money and figuring out how to get the money to come in. I think it's easier if you're already feeling abundant. It may be easier to get into the flow of money and wealth, but in some ways they can be slightly separate things. And I do think at times, I think in my own head, I demonized money itself so that money itself became the problem. And I could look at, you know, there are lots of examples in our society of some certain people who have money and power and abuse that. They abuse the power that comes to them and they abuse the money that they have. And so in my own mind, I assumed that having money itself was a bad thing, when it's really, money itself is completely neutral. Like you said, it's just energy. It's just energy that helps support life and helps us promote life around the world. But just because certain people, because of their own mindsets, abuse money, doesn't make money itself a bad thing. But that's always been a little confused for me in my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was saying with like how much meaning we give to money when really it could just be a pure exchange of energy. And it sort of should be. That's kind of why we created it. It's just it's our currency and it's how we exchange energy. And I love the point that you brought up that abundance is not the same as wealth or having a lot of money. Because there are people who are not very wealthy, but who feel and are extremely abundant. They have everything they need. They live in the flow. They don't live from a fear or from lack, or fear of lack. And they give freely and they feel completely taken care of. And yet there are people who have a lot of money and who are really wealthy who don't feel abundant at all, which is so interesting. So it really is a mindset and an energy that you can embody, the energy of abundance.
Mm-hmm. And I think in addition to those issues we talked about, the other aspect for me has been as a spiritual person, because I've always felt that being a doctor, but who's, you know, my motivation for being in medicine and for wanting to be a healer came from my spiritual awareness. That's purely a spiritual drive. And so for me, also in my mind, it feels like it should just be given freely. Like that's not something I should charge money for. Like I have this drive to want to help people and to heal people. And I have a hard time equating that with money or putting a value on it. Like, how much money is that worth? And so that's another obstacle for me, is when I look at the work I do from a spiritual perspective, it seems like the work is its own reward. So I don't need money to reward me for what I do. And therefore, I don't know how to equate money with it. Like, how much is it worth when I spend an hour with someone, you know, and I'm just letting love channel through me whatever that person needs to heal? I can't even imagine how to put a dollar figure on it. So that's another obstacle I have. I can't figure out how to charge, how much to charge, and it doesn't even quite make sense to me spiritually to charge money. So I'm trying to figure out how to be in this world where you need money in order to survive, and how do I bring those two things together in order to become successful enough financially that I can pay the bills and I can keep this going.
Right. I know that's pretty tricky. I think one thing it's important to do is to kind of step back and instead of looking so much at the work that you do or what you consider to be your job or your career, step back and make sure that you really value yourself and the work you're doing in the world And then you also kind of need to look at how much money do I really need to make in order to survive and in order to live the life that I am comfortable living. And once you kind of have that in mind, I think it's cool to just open up the channels for the universe to say, I'm open to receiving this abundance in any way that feels that is appropriate and that is right for me at this time. And sometimes you give your spiritual gift for free because, like you said, it is an honor to give it and to be a part of it. And so it's important to also give to people who may not be able to afford it. And that's part of the love that you're sharing and giving. But at the same time, it is a service that you're providing. And if you truly value the gift, then you do deserve an energy exchange, something in return for what you're giving. And at least in my life, because I have like numerous different income streams, I've said to the universe, I need this much money per month to survive and to feel abundant and relaxed. And it's not to excess, it's just enough. And so sometimes that money comes through teaching yoga. Sometimes that money comes through performing music. And sometimes it comes through feeding someone's cat while they're out of town or giving somebody a ride to their doctor's appointment. And those are literally examples of in the last month ways that I've gotten paid. And so I'm not going to argue with the universe about how I'm making my living and where my abundance is coming from. I'm just open to what's around me. And then there are opportunities that come up where I feel called to perform my music for free for somebody because I know that by giving that service, I may be receiving something in exchange, like a connection to a person or a really great experience. And so I sort of just go moment to moment on is this a situation where I should be making money from my gift and from my service? And I think for me, it's a little easier to know. It's like, is this a client who can afford it? Or is this a situation where it's more just a service that I'm offering for free. And so I kind of take it moment by moment with that.
I love that because what you're emphasizing is it's important to give freely, but also important to receive freely. And so I really like it that the flow goes both ways and you're open to it coming to you no matter what. And I've always gotten the give freely part. That part always made sense to me. And I could always do the giving part, but I struggled with the receiving and I didn't even have much of an imagination about how could I receive money. I couldn't even imagine it or envision that it was coming. So who knows? There are probably times when I turned away opportunities to receive because I didn't even recognize that it was, you know, whereas you've been tuned in and you're picking up like, oh, here's a little gift that I'm receiving, a chance to feed someone's cats, a chance to give someone a ride. And that's a way that I will receive part of the flow. So anyway, I'm you're my teacher here because I'm trying to learn how to be better at receiving. That is what I need to learn is how to receive.
It is so important. That truly is the other half of it because I think the masculine energy is of giving and of producing and the feminine energy is of receiving and being open. And like, we do have to be balanced in both of those or else we get really skewed. Like if you can only receive and you can't give, then you kind of become like a moocher, you know, or a victim who just waits for somebody to save them. And when you can balance both of those energies to give and to receive, I think that's where the most flow happens.
It's interesting when we talk about receiving, because I realize that I've been more concerned about the idea of taking and not recognizing that receiving is not the same as taking. So I've had an aversion to the idea of taking something from someone else and felt like when I charge someone for my services or bill them, I'm taking something from them. And that's a completely different mindset than the idea of receiving. But when you receive, you're allowing someone else the opportunity to give. You're allowing the other person a chance to share in the flow. That's completely different than taking something from someone else. And just as we were talking, I had that insight like, oh my gosh, that's how I've perceived it. That if I charge someone something, I'm taking something away from them that will hurt them.
Wow. That's a huge distinction. And I'm really glad you brought that up, because that really makes sense. Like, why there's some resistance around receiving, because if you view it as taking, then that's wrong, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to, once again, really looking at how much do you value yourself and how much do you honor your self-worth. And it's truly a matter of self-esteem. So the more you believe that you are worthy of your life here on this earth and that you deserve the sustenance to survive here, then it's easier to receive abundance in ways, you know, that helps you survive. And sometimes when you're just open to the flow and you're open to abundance and you know that you trust that you'll be taken care of and you really honor your own self-esteem, your own worth, sometimes the abundance doesn't come as cash flow or as a job or as income. Sometimes it actually just comes as opportunities. And so you'll find that you have a free ride somewhere. So instead of paying for travel, you actually got a free ride, or you know, you got invited to some amazing event, or you were just gifted something that you actually needed. Somebody just had an extra one and gave it to you. So there's a lot of opportunities for the universe to give us our abundance, and it's not always in money. It's not always in cash flow. So I think we can just, like, when we really honor and value ourselves and know that we're meant to be here and trust that the abundance is on its way, it shows up in all different forms.
And that's, it's so interesting when you mentioned self-esteem, because I'm thinking it's partly the source of self-esteem too, because I can say I have identified myself as a giving person, a giver, and that's where I derive my self-esteem, from being a giver. But in that identity, there's no room to be a receiver also, because, you know, I've placed so much importance on always giving and being the one who gives, that I can't get the same kind of feeling of gratification or purpose or meaning out of receiving, because I left out that important other half of the flow.
Yeah, totally. That makes a lot of sense. I just had the thought also that sometimes we identify too much with how we're making money with being our purpose and with who we are. And that can kind of be limiting. Like, some people only want to make money from their highest purpose, and they have to be living their highest path in order to make money that way. And that's pretty restricting, because we all have interesting perspectives on what is our highest purpose. And sometimes it's as simple as taking this next breath or smiling at someone. But we all want it to be our jobs. We all want it to be how we make money. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. Like, for me as an entrepreneur, like, sometimes I do get paid for my gift and what I consider to be my path and my purpose. But other times it's just a job, and I just make money feeding someone's cat. And because I'm okay with that, I think I let go of all the attachments to money and the meaning that I derive out of how I make money. And it's easier that way. I think it makes it easier for me to charge for my spiritual gifts, and also to let that go and sometimes give my gifts for free and make money in other ways, because I don't judge myself for getting paid to give someone a ride to their appointment or to feed someone's cat. I just think, oh, wow, what a nice gift, you know? And then there are other moments where I do get paid to live for my highest purpose. But I try not to make the meaning of how I value myself or the meaning of my purpose in life to be how I make money, if that makes sense.
Definitely, that you can distinguish between the two. So that you have separate relationships in a way with your purpose, and you can make sure you're always living your purpose. And then on the other hand, you can also make sure that you have the right mindset for abundance and for money to come and flow to you whether or not it's related to your purpose. And seeing the difference, I think, is really helpful, because otherwise, I think that's where, for me, I maybe have gotten confused too. In, I know that I'm living my purpose when I offer my spiritual gifts to the world, but if I require, if the only way I can see money coming to me is through that purpose, that's where I start to feel guilty or start to feel like it's contaminated a little bit, because I'm mixing the two up a little bit. And when I can hold both perspectives, like I'm doing my purpose with or without money, but money will still come to me through my abundance. And then it allows for all possibilities if you see it both ways.
Yeah. And then it is good to clear up those feelings about, like, you do deserve money for the spiritual work you're doing as well. Like, it is important to clear up any guilt about that, because you never know how the universe does want to work through you, and that might become a really important way that you are abundant. And it's okay to honor and value your gift and to see that the way that you are compensated for your gift is through money sometimes, and other times it's through wisdom. Like, you receive more inspiration as a gift for your willingness to put out all of your gifts. So you might be more inspired to write your next book. You might receive more inspiration and wisdom for another project, another workshop, simply because you're giving so much, and that's how we receive other times. But it's also okay to receive money as an exchange for that. And so I think you do have to clear that up. And then, like you said, be open to however the abundance is meant to flow.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of recently I was at a little workshop about letting our authentic voice come through. And the host of the workshop had us all talk about where we hold ourselves back in terms of, like, not really being able to speak our truth. Or be ourselves, like a way that we know we're squashing our abilities. And I said, I have a hard time marketing myself and selling what I do, because deep down I'm afraid that people won't like it or they won't buy it. And so it's easier to just hide in the shadows and never put my stuff out in the world and never market it and never put it on sale, because I don't have to be rejected that way. And it was really powerful, because the group helped me turn that around into a positive affirmation. And the affirmation was, putting myself out there is a gift to others, because what I have to offer is special, and it's what people need and people want. And so turning that around really helped me see, like, it's not a matter of fear and rejection. It's a matter of knowing that what I have to give is something that other people will love, and it's a gift, and they, like, it's a gift of me to just put it out there for them. And so I want them to receive, I want them to be loved and to feel, you know, the intention and the love that I put into my product or my songs or whatever it is. And so to turn that around, that really helped me see, like, it doesn't have to be scary. Just like it doesn't have to be scary to sell your service. It's a gift to others, and you do deserve to be paid for it.
So it seems like one of the keys for both of us is overcoming the fear. And whether it's a fear of, will others appreciate the gift I'm putting out in the world, a fear of, is it okay to charge for giving my gift to the world, or even a fear of, will I have enough if I give my gift to the world. In every one of those cases, it's fear that we need to overcome, because that's what helps us just be pure channels for the gifts that we have to bring to the world and give it freely to everyone, and then trust in exchange that we'll receive enough to support us and keep it going.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you are coming from trust and coming from the flow and not from fear, people receive your gift so much more willingly. And I see it in people around me. Like, even the woman who facilitated the workshop, it was a free workshop, and I could tell that she was so relaxed and just so easygoing about the workshop. Like, you know, she wasn't worried about how many people would come. She wasn't worried about how that would reflect on her or what it would mean for her career. And every single chair in the circle was filled with a person. And it just was amazing to me because I think her willingness to be so relaxed and so trusting of, like, however it's meant to be will be, and it doesn't reflect on her personal value, it allowed everyone else to receive her gift of her workshop so much more purely. And I think that could be the same for the gifts we're putting out there. If we come from love and we come from trust and an inner knowing of our value, then others can receive it and then give back to us in exchange in a pure way.
Exactly. And then anyone who can't receive or doesn't receive our gift, which of course there will be people, because our gifts are never meant for every single person, you know, because there's so much diversity on the planet. And we can easily allow others to not receive for whom our gift isn't intended or for whom it isn't a good fit, without feeling bad and without adding to any type of fear, as we can allow other people to receive or not receive whatever's right for them without those attachments. Mm-hmm. I think that's perfect.
So maybe money flows best when we're not attached to the outcome.
Yes.
Because sometimes we'll make good money from something, and sometimes we'll make no money from something. And sometimes the money comes from a place we strongly identify with. And sometimes the money just shows up in a really weird way. And you just say, thank you.
Yeah. I had an experience this year when I went to a conference to speak at a conference that I had spoken at the year before, and I had made quite a lot of money from selling books and CDs at that particular conference. And so I went back again this year thinking this will be great. I'm expecting that I would make the same kind of money from sales there, but there were only half as many attendees at the conference. So I only sold half as many books and CDs and barely made enough money to cover the expense of traveling to the conference, which was alarming. But what happened is, at the last minute, I got a chance to speak somewhere else in the area at another venue. Someone just asked me if I could come, and they put it all together. They threw it together at the last minute without very much planning, just invited people to come. We had no idea what would happen. And it turns out that second venue that just got added on with no planning, that venue made more money for me than I had made at the other conference. And it was completely came out of the blue as a total surprise. And so once again, it was your example of, you know, I just trusted when these people for the second event said, could you possibly do this for us? And I had no expectations that I would make anything because it was so last minute. I thought, oh, well, I'll just go for free and talk for them and it won't matter. You know, it'll all be fine. But in the end, that's where the abundance came from, and that's where the flow came from. And so I realized I was able to go to the second event without attachments, but I had definite attachments to the first event. I definitely had already calculated what I thought the outcome would be. I definitely already had in mind how much money I thought I would make. And so anyway, it goes to what you're saying. If we can just function and give freely and not have attachments and trust, somehow it does work out. And we do get what we need, and it does all flow when we are in that trusting mode.
Yeah, we have to give freely and also receive freely. And I think it's important. Your story reminded me that the universe doesn't communicate to us the way that our egos think. And so we tend to interpret meaning in a situation as like, oh, I'm a failure. Like, there weren't as many people at this workshop this year, and so the universe is trying to tell me that I'm not good anymore. I'm not good enough, and I shouldn't do this anymore. I'm a failure. Mm-hmm. But that's not how the universe communicates with us. That's how our egos interpret it through the lens of fear. And really, sometimes it's just like a diversion in the path. Like, the universe is just saying, just come this way. Like, we're going to, you know, this channel is closed off. It's not as open. Come to this channel. It's a little more open, and we'll guide you to this next workshop where you will make a lot more money. Or maybe you are supposed to switch careers, you know, and there will be some gift for you along that road. But I think it's never as black and white or like good and bad as we tend to see things. Like, the universe communicates to us in symbols, and we have to look beyond what's happening and into the deeper meaning of what could be behind this, or what could be the opportunity or the blessing that's on its way from this apparent bad thing that my ego doesn't like. And a lot of times, like, the gift will just surprise you. The miracle will just come in a way that you never expected. So it's good for us to try not to interpret all these symbols from the universe as being, you know, self-judgment and like, oh, I'm not good enough. That's why. That's what's happening.
And that's such an interesting point that you make. And it made me realize that, you know, money is, it's tangible and it's numerical. So there are, you know, our ego can measure like $50 versus $150, and our ego can judge, this is good, that's not good. You know, I made more doing this, I made less doing that, because money exists in the garden. You know, money here in this garden is, it's tangible and has concrete value and amounts to it. However, we also have to remember, like you said in the beginning, that money is energy. And when we look at the energy of money from the higher perspective, from the galaxy view, there isn't any judgment about money came to me, energy came to me through this event. It doesn't matter what numbers are attached to that energy that came. To the ego, it matters. But it's the fact that, oh, energy came to me through this event, and other energy came to me through a different event, that from the galaxy view, the universe doesn't put numbers on the energy and the amount of energy that you get. It's the ego that does that. But it's our world, it's our earth, it's life on earth that does that also. Here in the garden, we live where we have numerical figures and bills in dollar amounts that we have to pay. And so we have to have both. We have to be able to remember the galaxy perspective, that's neutral about the monetary value of the energy that's coming to us. But in the garden, we also have to keep track of the dollars and the numbers so that we can make sure we get the bills paid.
That's a really good point. I think it's good to not just look at, like you said, the number, the numerical value of the money coming in, but how you felt, because that's energy too. And so you may not have made a lot of money from a certain thing, but the energy you received from it and how you felt in it was like tenfold what the money could have offered you. And like, because I know there have been situations where like, I may not have made a lot of money from a show, but I performed my music and connected with someone in the audience and completely saw them change and evolve in that moment with my song. And like, they gave me a hug afterward, and maybe they cried, or they told me how much it meant to them and how I felt singing my song. That feeling and that energy is huge compared to the monetary value of what I made for the show. So that's another way the universe speaks to us, is like in feeling. If you feel like you're in the flow and you're in your moment and you're like bringing your light through, that's an honor. And that is what we're all meant to be doing. And so that is actually more valuable than just money coming in. So if we remember that, like, it's not always the numerical value, sometimes it's just the feeling you get from it that creates the value, then we loosen up our ties and our attachment to the meaning of money. And then sometimes we get a good feeling and a good energy from an experience, and then the money comes in some other way. But we really do, it really does come down to trusting that there's enough and trusting that we are abundant.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
That's a perfect description of what, when I was talking about the conference where I didn't make as much money as I thought. At that conference, the talk that I presented, it turned out there was no PowerPoint projector for me to use to show slides during my talk. So I had to just talk off the top of my head without the slides I'm used to relying on. And I was nervous, but I just trusted. I just asked God, like, help me do this. And it was like the best talk I've ever given. It was amazing how much I felt in the flow and how many compliments I got afterwards from people about that talk. And that was a breakthrough for me because it made me realize, like, wow, I can do this without relying on slides. It was a huge growth opportunity for me as a speaker and spiritually in trust. And so you're right. That whole event was about receiving something else besides money. I got enough money to pay the expenses, but I received so much more from being part of that event. So you're right about measuring all of the value of our experience, not just the numerical monetary parts.
Mm-hmm. And then that way we don't define our lives so much in terms of money, because happiness does not only come from money. Yes, money can help us be happy, but we have to know how to treat it. We have to know how to use it to be happy. And happiness can certainly come without money as well. So then when we're judging our experiences based on feeling more than money, then we loosen up that grip to our meaning and our need for money. And I wanted to offer a little experiment for all of our listeners to do, and we should do this too, Mom. And I have done this in the past. As an experiment for your abundance, as an experiment for your connection to the universe and the flow and being guided, I invite you to, first of all, get really clear within yourself. Really clear out all of your guilt and your shame about money and realize that it's just energy, and you, just like all of us, are a being on this earth meant to be sustained, meant to be fulfilled, and meant to be abundant. It is our birthright to come to the planet and be abundant. And it doesn't mean you have to be loaded and super wealthy. It just means you're taken care of always, always. You always have enough. And so take a moment, you know, and journal and clear up your shame about it. Clear up your fears about not being enough. And realize that you already are, and you already are meant to be abundant enough. And then I'd like you to figure out what kind of money you need every month to survive, to pay your rent, you know, depending on where you live, or to help your kids and pay for food and whatever it is that you need in your life. And then I'd like you to write a letter to the universe or put this on your vision board over your altar or something that you have in your bedroom and just say, dear universe, I would like to see this amount of money flowing to me because this is what I need to survive. Thank you. And then let it go. You can even like send the letter to yourself in the mail and get it back, or you can burn it, or you can save it, or you can put it on your wall, but let it go completely and don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Don't interfere with it and just see what happens. And I think you'll be amazed at how interesting new channels of income will open up for you. If you're open, if you're willing, if you're okay with receiving money in different ways than maybe you're used to, the abundance will flow to you. And sometimes it's not money. Sometimes, like I said, it's just opportunity. But try that experiment and see what happens for you, and really stay open and be clear and let go of your attachment. And it's amazing.
I love that. I'm going to do it. And then maybe in a future episode, we can report back on our own little experiment and how it worked out for us, or
yeah,
what's happening from that. So that'll hold me
Sounds
accountable.
Great.
Well, that's a perfect way to end our discussion today, with a little project for everyone to work on.
Yep. So I want everybody out there to remember that you are enough, you're abundant, and you're totally taken care of every step of the way. You're totally guided, and there will always be enough money as long as you are open and you receive and you give and you're just in the flow. So thanks for listening, and I hope that we inspired you and helped you kind of clear up your feelings about money.
Yeah, stay open. Remember to give your love above all, because the world desperately needs it right now. And may you know how beautiful you are, and see your place on this planet and how important and special that is. So thanks for joining us today and being part of our discussion about money. And until next week, take care and goodbye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.